Okay, we're back. This is part two of the series that Lawrence and I were, talking about that we've taken off for a few months, and so we're back to getting back into explaining and trying to define the construct, the supernatural construct, and how it works, how the mechanics of it work, not in trying necessarily to make a model because we both probably concur at this point that that's pretty impossible, except for the mathematics of it. And Lawrence and I were talking earlier about the, say, for example, I brought up that I just read that, okay, where I live, there's going to be a harvest moon on Friday the 13th, which is tomorrow for here, and that the next one, the same occurrence won't happen again until the year 2046 for there to be a harvest moon on a Friday the 13th, blah, blah. So that says that there is a mathematical equation that someone is privy to that I'm not, and but it is something that I do want to investigate. And in the times when we were earlier studying the tracking of the sun and the moon using timeanddate.com, and people used to say, oh, well, that's their system. We were trying to describe how the Pac-Man worked on the Mercator map using timeanddate.com. So there's obviously a reason why they use that map, that model. And they're so that they can show us the tracking of the sun and the moon, where it will be overhead for anybody at any time, and what direction you'll be able to, see it in, and so on. And the different paces that the sun and moon take. But also, you can go on timeanddate.com and click on a date in the future. I don't know at this point, without going right there to look, how many years in the future you can, pull it up, but you can pull up a day, a time, a location, and see where the sun and the moon are going to be. So that obviously dictates that there is a mathematical pattern to it, to the movements. And that also says that it's repeating. So how, Lawrence, how do you describe best how to define this mathematical equation? Because it's not just the sun and the moon. We know by the astrological chart, where the planets are going to be, where the stars, constellations are going to be, and so on. And what's going to be next to each other, and then how they repeat, because they obviously do repeat. How many cycles of repeat do you think there are?
Well, I mean, if you imagine it was the mechanism of a watch, you've got all these little cogs, and you've got one cog that's the year, so everybody knows what we all know what goes on that. We all know the sun's gonna come back and be the highest in where we are on June 20th, June 21st, and then you'll have some other cogs which travel around slower, and it might take 100 years for one of those to go around. So whatever is associated with that larger cog, you're only going to see, over very infrequently. You might not even see it in your own lifetime. But some of the things are prove the construct, and they're geared to the heliocentric model, because when you've got something, say for example, like Halley's Comet, which comes around whatever every 100 years or so, it's not there, is it? If we're in a construct, it isn't contained within whatever the construct is. It has to be inserted into the construct every so many hundreds of years. So it's just something that's added. It's not coming from somewhere else. It's just placed there to emphasize the heliocentric model.
Well, and it's placed there on some kind of a schedule. So it's that schedule of each of these things. We've heard the stories about asteroids struck the Earth millions of years ago and wiped out the dinosaurs, and And you know, we look at the moon, and it looks like it's pitted, like it's been hit by comets and stuff time after time after time. Amazingly, all of them hit at a direct 90 degree angle to the surface of the circle. I mean, the chances of that are astronomical, that something hit the moon time after time after time to make those craters.
Yeah.
Directly impacting at a 90 degree angle.
Yeah.
Am I saying right? 90 or is it 45? 90 degree angle to the surface.
Yeah. Well, the moon's just some kind of projection. And we still have some dinosaurs. All birds are actually dinosaurs.
Well, you know, people, there's lots of people who say the dinosaurs never existed because there's no actual ever dinosaur, complete dinosaur body found. And yet they say they've found, you know, ones that are not completely hardened. The bones aren't completely hardened off yet or still have flesh on them. The Bible talks about dragons. Ancient Chinese culture all the religions talk about dragons. So, you know, that's a whole nother topic.
I'm pretty sure that these so-called mythological creatures were here on this landmass, wherever it was. It might have been part of something else at some time.
Well, or at some other level of time in the construct. I mean, you know, how things have manifested in the construct over all the eons, or whether, you know, there's young, what they call, you know, young Bible believers, that the earth is only 6,000 years old, roughly. Maybe this version of it is, who knows? I wouldn't be able to argue with that. But we've talked about the giants. We've talked about the no forests on flat earth tree, giant trees. We've looked into the whole giant, whether they were giant, you know, the rock formations that we see are giant bones of humans, animals, or whether, you know, they all were trees or seeds or mushrooms or whatever. You know, all of it is possible. Maybe the entire construct at the previous incarnation of it was all bigger. Who knows? I mean, that's what the evidence points to.
It's massively bigger. I mean, I was watching a video the other day, and you'd have to watch it all to appreciate it. But there's this mountain that is the remains of an elephant, and it's a huge mountain. And you can see that it's an elephant because they show you pictures of an elephant that's died in the jungle, and it's, you know, decomposing and what it looks like. And this and all the layers of skin and stuff like that. This is so obviously an elephant. It's even called, I haven't got it in front of me, it's even called the Elephant Mountain. And it is an elephant, and it must have weighed, you know, billions of tons. So, you know, we weren't around when the human species can't have been around. We're like a microbe in comparison to these creatures.
Sure. Well, okay, so time clock of the construct got reset at the same time that the surface creation of the construct got reset. That's another one of the reasons why in the Bible it says, you know, Methuselah lived to be hundreds and 800 years old, and now mankind, after the fall of man and the flood, we were only, you know, to live to be maybe 100, 120 tops. So you have to be able to open your mind beyond the simplistic structure of education and critical thinking that you grew up with or were raised with, depending on the teachers and the schools and the parents and the culture that you lived in, wherever you live on earth. But it's pretty obvious that there are those out there who know a whole lot more than we do about the time clock, so to speak, of the earth. There's got to be a good reason why anytime somebody discovers some giant bones or some giant anything, it's almost immediately confiscated or donated to the Smithsonian or the Vatican or whatever, so that the general pop can't go and see a lot of these things. Although there are very tall men bones, human bones, on display in different places on Earth. At the same time, there's some very very tiny bones bodies where, you know, the mythology of the fairies and the little people came from. And yet there are bone remnants of very small skulled, very tiny humanoid looking creatures. There's the elongated skull people that, you know, some people say, oh, that was an ancient cultural thing where they bound their skulls when they were children so that they would grow elongated, you know, but you can't copy or replicate that today, nor would you probably want to. But so, yeah, all these mysteries exist. And whether or not you, you know, want to get lumped in as a conspiracy theorist or a critical thinker, either one, I mean, they're both ends of the spectrum. The question and the evidence still exists. What was this? When was this? And why was this? And so, but back to the cycle of the construct, I think there very definitely have been resets before. And I also believe that the, you know, clock mechanism of time has been reset. You know, for them to say, well, we won't have another harvest moon, Friday the 13th, full moon till 2046. Well, who the hell knows what it's going to be like in 2046, you know, if we'll even still be here, if the construct will be the same. But there's obviously measuring tools, astrological charts, so on. They just have always fit them into the heliocentric model. But the heliocentric model of that completely falls apart. One of the things that turned me into a flat earther was the fact that when I really looked at the heliocentric model, not of just the spin of the Earth, but the traveling of the Earth and the Sun through the universe, spiraling, everybody's spiraling, the moon's around the Earth's around the Sun, all these other planets and all got their moons and everybody's moving. And yet there's never been any parallax to the constellations. And the constellations are merely pictures that humans drew of connecting dots of stars together and saying, well, this little group always seems to stay together and moves across the sky, so we're going to call this group that, okay? We're going to call that Orion's Belt because it always stays the same. Well, I happen to be a real student of Orion's Belt because I watch it every year go across my, you know, my home at night from east to west across the sun, you know, across my home sky. And I've been watching it for 15 years and it looks exactly the same today as it did 15 years ago. So with all this spinning and vortexing and moving through the universe, how come Orion's Belt isn't a little off center now, or his foot's a little longer, or you know what I'm saying?
There is a general consensus that, you know, the planets and stars are not real. They're just lights in the sky, you know. So maybe they're just models of planets and...
It's never parallaxed.
It could be a model of something else that is real. I mean, why would, you know, it's a model, isn't it? It's a scale of something, you know, they're saying it's massively bigger and it's light years away when it's very close. So maybe it is a model.
Close or far, it's still a
so whoever made the construct,
an object that you can define based on its shape, size, height, width, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's one dimensional or
Well, when you you've seen the pictures of these stars, you've seen the photographs that with people's real cameras, they took pictures, you know, Venus and the other planets, and you can see it's like a bloody cell with bits moving inside of it. It's like a living being, and they're very close. But why would the creator make something that wasn't actually, you know, what it's pertained to be?
Well, why would it be a static thing? Why would it be, you know, I mean, for example, you put a seed in the ground and it germinates and it pokes its head up through the soil and it grows, and some things grow into a tomato and other things grow into a giant tree. Okay. Yeah. But everything is constantly growing. And then once it stops growing, just like humans, once it stops growing, it starts going backwards, right? And it starts to deteriorate, and then it dies. And that's a cycle. The bodies that are moving across the sky, I mean, I like the word heavenly body because instead of star, because, you know, it's a little more romantic thinking in my head of it being heavenly and being a body of something. We don't know if it has any other purpose than twinkle, twinkle in the sky to tell us where we are on Earth and what time of the day or what time of the year it is. So I think it has a greater purpose than that. And I actually think those are either places or beings or energy somethings, or, you know, something with a purpose other than merely for the, you know, illuminating joy of us little silly humans down here. Because I'm certain that dogs and horses and cows couldn't give a crap what the sky beings are doing.
All right. Well, Laurie, do you concur with, and it's quite a wildly held belief, that humans at present are being farmed for their negative energy or energies, and maybe good energies as well, but which commonly known as loosh. Do you believe they're being farmed for the loosh? And if so, where does this loosh actually go? Where is it harvested? Or do you disagree?
No, I can't disagree, because there is negative and positive energy and emotion.
Why is there all this money in sport? Huge, massive money in sport, which generates two sets of emotions. The winning, you're supporting the winning side, you've got the joy, and the losing side, you've got the, you know, your team's getting beat. And that is producing a lot of energy for them. You know, I mean, I see as just being here to provide energy for some entities, whatever you want to label them as.
It's different than what happened yesterday. You know, yesterday was the 18th anniversary of 9/11. You know, it's a big deal in America. It's actually a pretty big deal everywhere on Earth, because it changed Earth forever with regards to, you know, rights and freedoms and wars and so on. So it didn't just happen to us. It basically, by reverberation, happened to everyone. And think about the massive amount of negative energy, sadness, you know, loss of hope, loss of just a lot of loss on that one particular day. And it repeats year after year. Nobody, you know, you can't help but make some kind, if you live in America, you can't help but make some kind of a post about 9/11 on 9/11, whether it's never forget or whether it was an inside job and it's a lie or whatever your take on it was or is now. Still, when you add up the powerful negative fear and energy that happened on that one day, if something was mining that in some way, sucking it up.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
They got a dose that day. And any day, I mean, you go on Facebook and, oh my God, the Amazon is burning. It's the lungs of the earth. And, you know, we're all going to die in 12 years because we're burning down the forests and so on. As if we have the 100% control of killing our planet, you know, plane, yeah. Construct. Go to Chernobyl today and see what's happening there when they said, you know, it's going to be 100 lifetimes or something before anything can live in Chernobyl again. And yet there's plants growing and there's animals living there. And
yeah, another hoax. But if I'm just going back to 9/11, I mean, it's funny how they, there are certain things that they've taken out of circulation that were out. So, I mean, I was into 9/11 big time for a lot, you know, I was into no plane straight away, but the 9/11 actors, most of those actors, those videos are no longer available. There was one guy playing three different parts. It was the same guy. And the dust scenes, there was that guy, that iconic scene of that guy who got his suit on and he was carrying a briefcase and he got about 3 inches of dust on him, on his shoulders and on his briefcase.
Like somebody took a big ash can and dumped it right on him. Yeah.
Well, it was obviously staged, and you know, these were actors, and there was another woman as well. And but you go looking for those things. Now, and the same happened on the London terrorist attacks, the tube bombings, and you got the same people in different scenes. They got actors playing different roles, you know.
Well, let me give you an example of what happened to me today. Yesterday and today, I did make a post on Facebook. When you say never forget, make sure you are, what you really mean is never forget how badly we were lied to.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a no planer. I've seen the CGI of the planes hitting the towers. I've dissected it for 15 years, and people say, well, if there were no planes, and what happened to all those people on the planes? Well, if there were no planes, there were no people on the planes. So there's that many less you can take off of the death toll, and so on. But what's interesting is one of the first things that people will say when you say there were no planes and that those people didn't, you know, that they, the numbers of the people that hit four planes, it's almost 300 people, you know, who didn't die because there were no planes, there were no hijacked planes. Well, then they say, well, were they all actors? Man, first you have to understand there were no people on the planes because there were no planes. So we don't need any actors for that. Okay. Well, what about their family? You know, their family members are all saying that that they had family on the planes and they died. Well, let's just throw in there that the day before 9/11, $2.3 trillion was reported unaccounted for from the Pentagon military budget. Okay. $2.3 trillion. That's a lot of freaking money to pay off people. Million here, 500,000 there, you know, couple million over here for people to tell a story and stick with it for the rest of their lives. I mean, after all, the guys who landed on the moon did, right?
I know, but I get the impression that reality, they've got some kind of reality generation machine, because if you look at 9/11, there were so many different facets to it and all being synchronized in such a way that it would be impossible for somebody to sit down and plan all that out. It's just a non-starter.
Not that hard, Lawrence. I mean, when you write a basic script, okay, of the plot, of a book or a movie or whatever, okay? And you sit down and you write the basic script. On this day, this, this, and this happened, okay? Then all you have to do is flow charts for each of the incremental parts that, you know, what questions will people ask? Let's think of everything. You know, it's like a playing a game of Go. You know, people think, well, when you play a game of chess, you got to plan out a whole bunch of moves. You know, if you're really smart, you can think four or five moves ahead. In a game of Go, there's so many more options. It's almost infinite how many options it can turn into. And so when you think about 9/11, okay, well, first all you got to do is rig the towers to collapse, add building seven in there. So that's three buildings that you have to rig to collapse. Then you have to rig the plane idea. Okay. Oh, we're going to have planes hit it. And because the last time where they had the bomber, you know, in 1993, when they had the bomber go in the basement and try to blow up the pilings, that didn't work. That didn't bring the buildings down. So now we got to go for something else. Well, four hijacked planes, two of them fly into the towers. One of them goes into Shanksville and one of them goes into the Pentagon. Well, the Shanksville plane wasn't there. The Pentagon plane wasn't there. So two out of four already weren't planes and didn't crash into anything. So that I'm going to go for four for four. The whole idea is then you just come up with the hijacking idea. You fill in the fake people who were on the planes. All you got to do is hire a few actors. You didn't hear from every single person who had a loved one, husband, wife, child, daughter on one of those planes. You didn't hear from all of those people. They didn't even file for the Social Security or for the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. Why wouldn't they? If you had a loved one that was, you can just go on and on and on. The stand down order not to shoot the hijacked planes out of the sky. Why would they tell them to stand down? Well, if they told them, you know, the natural thing is to go and shoot the planes out of the sky before they crash into something because they've been hijacked. The guys scramble in their jets, go looking for the planes. They're not there because they're a fake blip on a radar screen. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a book. It's a script. They had years to write these scripts.
Yeah, I know, but so you'd say, right? Well, the nose out of the aircraft going entirely through a building, that's obviously CGI. So if the plane was CGI, then the building that you saw must have been a CGI building as well.
They showed films on the day in real time of this, that, and the other. Okay. They all shared the same feed. Four of the main, you know, reporting television stations showed the same aerial views and the same reporting and so on. How hard is it to have scripts for players to call into the TV station and say, yeah, I'm only a mile away and I saw the plane hit the building. It's some guys recording on the TV. You don't see the guy. You don't know the guy. You know,
So you got all these people who are part of the scheme, and they're all telling lies. Well, my view on that is that they are soulless beings. They are NPCs.
Okay. You're not going to get any argument out of me. How hard is it to keep the truth or keep the lie or the cover up when you've got NPCs as the witnesses, the family, the whatever? I mean, the Social Security Death Index is another example. When you die in the United States, they retire your Social Security number, and your death certificate is supposed to be reported to the SSDI so that, you know, they know that you're dead.
Yeah.
You can go on there for My great grandparents are probably listed on the Social Security death index as having died, all right? All these so-called people who died they're never reported to the SSDI. What happened to them? Because they were fake to begin with. They never existed. They didn't have a Social Security number because they didn't need one because they're fictitious.
Yeah, so the whole thing was a scripted movie then, wasn't it?
Okay, so of course it was. It wasn't any different than Die Hard the movie or any of the other things or the space movies that they have of people, levitating through spaceships and doing spacewalks and everything else. It's all CGI.
So when you get somebody posting a comment that comes in your news feed saying, oh, the 3,000 people that died, and then you put, look, it was just a movie. Nobody died.
Oh, you know what
You
you are immediately when you say that? You are so, you're the heartless one. You're the soulless one. You are, people died that day and you should feel sorrow and your American spirit should feel horror at the fact that, 3,000 people died because terrorists attacked the Twin Towers. No, terrorists didn't, Muslim terrorists didn't attack the Twin Towers. There were no planes. It was all bombed out and controlled demolition. So now what do you got? See, I don't have a problem with coming back from that because here's what happens next almost every time. My uncle's cousin's daughter's neighbor had a friend who died in the Twin Towers. Really? What's their name? Well, I don't know, but I know that my, neighbor's cousin's daughter's, wait a minute ago, it was your cousin's neighbor's daughter's brother something, okay? Because that is how human emotion wants to be attached to an event where they're supposed to feel sad. They have to know somebody or know somebody who knew somebody so that they are connected to it. Because you know what? Why in the world would they make sad movie after sad movie that makes you cry unless they know people like to cry? People like to feel hurt and pain and sorrow only in a fictitious sense of a movie because the minute the lights come up in the theater, it's over. It didn't really happen. It was fiction. But you got a little emotion out of it, which is a whole lot better than what? It's no different than going to a football game if you're a football fan and getting all, yeah, about winning or about losing. Okay. It's emotion. So, all, one of the first movies I went to see when I was a little kid was Bambi. And at the in the here's in the movie, and Bambi's mother's died, the doe. And Bambi's mother, mother, and you're like crying, tears running down your face. You're a little kid. You're fucking brutalized for the rest of your life of this pain and horror and sadness of the loss of mother. And so these emotions are being triggered by people all the time. And the more years to go by, the more memorials they have, the more they can keep that emotion fresh. And, think about it. 18 years ago, there's a lot, anybody under 18 years old wasn't alive when it happened. Yet they're told never forget.
And in the word itself, Laurie, the word emotion, motion is movement. So emotions move out of you. And just like you can't see the radio waves and the internet waves and all this
Or light
electromagnetic stuff,
waves or any of that.
emotions are going out, but because we can only see whatever 4% of visible light, we can't see emotions. If you could see them, wouldn't this world be entirely a wholly different place?
Oh, wouldn't it be?
Wouldn't that give the game away? That's
If
what.
you could see joy and if you could see love and if you could see hate and fear, even if you just turned a color, okay? If you just turned red when you're mad, and if you just turned blue when you're happy, and if you turned yellow when you're sad, or whatever, Or your aura color changed and it emanated out. You could be walking down the street. You would know who to go over and love on and console and give a hug to, wouldn't you? Because you would know, they have loss or fear or whatever.
We can't see emotions, but I think that dogs can. I think other animals can see them. My dog knows who likes him because he'll drag me over to them. He'll drag me over to a complete stranger across the street, and my dog will have his paws on his chest, and the guy will be, making a big fuss over him. Mm-hmm. Dog will be licking
horses
his face.
The same thing. Horses can sense fear. Yeah.
They can see. They can see the emotions, but we can't.
Possibly.
Apart from reading people's expressions, but that they can actually. They can feel.
So by that premise, then, Lawrence, if something is feeding off of negative emotion, and is anything feeding off of positive emotion? And is it possible that an overwhelming amount of positive emotion can defeat those who feed off of negative emotion? And I believe the answer to that is yes. I think positive emotion actually is painful to them.
The news is usually 90% bad news, and just the very end, if you want.
Right.
If you want
a little blip at the end sometimes,
nice little story at the end.
Happy thing that,
Yeah. In the meantime, they've had their fill of the negative stuff, haven't they?
They've produced as much negative as they can.
Yeah, you're shit.
So if you want to know the truth, I think that's just a cyclable as everything else that goes in cycles on Earth.
Well,
Think about this. Another thing that just, mystifies me about the construct idea is an idea like praying, for example. Some people call it manifesting, some people calling, power of attraction, so on. I'll just use the word prayer because it's the most universal word. Some people believe that if you pray harder, praying, that whatever it is you're asking for, you'll get. Or if you're a better person, you got a better chance of getting your prayers answered. Well, what are prayers other than this? Is energy going out from you? Some people believe you just pray in your head and that should work because God's omniscient and omnipresent and knows what you're praying about. Other people say, no, you have to say it out loud and the words have to come out and the sound is what, God's going to respond to. Well, let's just say in the construct that in all of the, what you earlier was talking about, subjective consciousness or in collective consciousness even, how would prayer work in that? Because let's say, for example, maybe it's one thing for you to say, I have this cancer on my skin. I'm going to pray about it and have God remove that, heal that. Okay. That's personal only to you. It's not going to affect anyone else. There's other prayers, that would affect other people, help our family, protect our home, get me safely from point A to point B in the car while I'm driving. Make this foreclosure go away. All right. So the more the prayer would affect or be affected by more people or the bigger, a bigger wave of the circle ripple effect of the construct, to me would be a little bit more difficult prayer to answer, to orchestrate all of the working parts to make it come true, to make it, manifest. for example, you know, the cancer on the arm versus make the bank drop the foreclosure and you know, let me keep my house. Well, you've got the court and the judge and the lawyers and the documents and the papers and the, you know, all of these people that are involved in this transaction. In order to make that happen for you, a lot of manipulation has to happen, right? Not just for you, but with all these other people. So I guess my point is the construct has to be interconnected with everything and everyone. For you know, back to the game of Go, you know, the minute you move your little guy here, that changes the entire options of the board for your opponent and for you too, because you can't, you know, you gotta, every move you make has repercussions, has consequences. So I guess, you know, what is it, that 9 degrees of separation? Is that how many, is that what the number is? 9 degrees, 6 degrees, 8 degrees? What is it? So many degrees of separation. I can never remember what it is.
I've heard the saying, yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about a saying today, actually.
Everybody on Earth is connected by within that 9 degrees or something of separation.
Yeah.
So.
Here's one for you, Laura. Here's a question.
Okay.
I haven't looked it up. It was one I thought about. I thought, I'm going to look this up and see where this saying comes. When somebody says, I'm going to level with you, what does it mean? Level.
Hold on. It's annoying the crap of me about this degrees of separation thing. 6 degrees. Okay. That's what I thought it was.
Degrees as in, you know, a tiny angle.
Well,
but if somebody says to you, I'm going to level with you, they say, I'm going to tell you how it is, don't they?
Okay.
That's me, you know, and the earth is level, you know, maybe there's a connection I was thinking today, but I haven't looked it up, but you can look it up and it'll tell you where this, your map.
Where this saying originated?
I don't know.
Well, the 6 degrees of separation means, you know, like I know somebody and they know somebody and they know somebody, and back around by the time you get to the 6 degrees of separation, you probably know that person or some effect. Okay. And
yeah.
So that's really not that big when you consider how many people are on Earth. But I guess what I'm saying is the construct in its full sense isn't like, you know, microbes are on one level and you know like birds and animals are, and then humans and blah blah all the way up. Everything is affecting everything else. And so think about the programming that would have to take place with all of these degrees of all of these interactions of all of these people. Think about that and keeping track of it. So it's not a big reach to think about, you know, if you pray for something, like that piece of cancer, little bit of cancer on your arm, that might manifest in 6 weeks. And you're cured.
But let me ask you something.
The degree of
why 6 degrees? Why not 5 degrees? I mean,
well, I don't know. There's a reason why it's six. I don't know what the origin of it is, but what I was saying about the prayer, the bigger the prayer, the more it affects more of the construct.
Right.
Maybe the longer it's going to take to manifest it, because a lot of things have to be rearranged. A lot of people have to be directed.
You drive into the shops to get some groceries in your car.
Okay.
and somebody cuts you up and you narrowly miss them, and you're feeling quite pissed off, and you might shout out some words in the car. Do you do anything afterwards? Do you say you're sorry? I always say I'm sorry. I say I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, because I think if I say those words, after I've said them, it's sending out all the negative. Yeah. Negativity will actually go into that car and fuck the rest of their day up.
There's no doubt about it. It has reverberations. Everything you do and everything everybody else does is reverberating all the time. And those reverberations are all crossing and hitting each other, just like a nice smooth pond. And you take not just one rock and plunk it in the middle and watch the rings come out, but at the same time, you take handfuls of rocks and throw them all in the middle and look at the ripples that all bang into each other and cross each other. That's the way the world works. So I did a little experiment one time driving in the car, because I'm like the Incredible Hulk in the car. Oh, I get so mad and I'm like, rawr, you know, go, green means go, go. And so I have to really, you know, work on keeping my cool because there's so many stupid drivers and stupid people. And sorry for saying that, but there is. And I remember one day I was sitting at, you know, when you have a bunch of clover leaves, do you have clover leaves there? Or is that just an American thing? You know, we have roads that cross so everybody can keep going. This one ramps up onto that.
I know what you mean.
Okay. So I'm at one of those four-way clover leaf things. Okay. And I'm going to go straight. And that, you know, as you're approaching the clover leaf, it's very clearly marked on the road. I mean, they've actually painted it on the road. Highway 75 is painted on the road. You're staying this lane, okay? If you want to go, get in that lane. And they tell you far enough back that you should be able to be there, okay? And so, I don't know, somebody was doing something stupid, wanting to get in front of me or cut over or whatever. And I just acted like one of those kids in the short bus going to the, you know, slow school. And I was just like smiling real big and waving like a, you know, goofball. Yeah. And the person smiled and waved at me when, you know, the opposite could have happened. I could have done my Incredible Hulk thing but I didn't. And it was really funny because other people saw me doing that. Other people in their cars looking out the window saw me going, go ahead. And they started waving and smiling too, like I was a nerd or something, right? Yeah. And I actually felt the intersection lighten up. I mean, I actually felt, you know, what is normally a brutal moment in trying to get across traffic across town turn into sort of a happy moment. Yeah. And I never forgot about that. Yeah. So, yeah. Do I say harsh things and mean things?
All right. We can all be quite spiteful when we're driving. Well, in some respects anyway. I mean, the typical case is where you're driving along and it's two lanes and then you get this note saying that they're going to merge into one.
Right. And the idiot that wants
if to you get one sure in the inside lane, well, those people will go right to the end. I ain't fucking letting you in. You're going to have to wait.
You're so much more special than I am. And so, you know, and everybody else here is. And you saw the sign just the same time we did way back there.
Yeah.
But you're special.
Yeah.
Think about in this construct, you've got those who are aware of this submatrix thing, you know, we've talked about before, that's the control matrix, and that everybody that's in that is fully, pretty much fully in it. They believe the normal story of 9/11 or the official story of 9/11. And they believe that we live on a globe and they believe we went to the moon and all of the other things that are part of that submatrix construct lie. Okay. when you get away from that, okay, it, whether you want to call it getting woke or whatever, you know, enlightened, whatever your term of the day is, it's hard not to feel superior, smarter, better, wiser than those who are in it. Okay. Yeah. That's another part of what needs to stop, because it's okay for them to make fun of you when you say, you know, 9/11 was an inside job or it was a, you know, a movie hoax. Did people die? It's possible. I can't say for certain that nobody died as a result of blowing up those buildings. But at the same time, I know the numbers aren't what they said they were. I know the reason that it happened is not what they said it was. And so that's my belief system. That's my worldview. Those who believe the, whatever you call it, the.
That's the problem, because so many.
Story.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Let me.
Have a drink.
Yeah. Those who believe the conventional, you know, official story, if you just say one thing, like there were no planes, then it's automatically going to challenge the entire story, right?
Yeah.
You can't believe the rest of the story if you suddenly found out there's no planes. But first you have to wrap your mind around that there were no planes. So the first thing they're going to do is, how do you know there were no planes? Were you there? You know, and you say, well, me and several million other people have analyzed all of the footage that's been shown of these so-called planes, and it's CGI, right? And
thank you.
And when you... So they go, well, show me. Well, let's say, for example, you spent 10 hours of your time, film by film, most of these people frame by frame. That's how you find CGI, is frame by frame. And if you're not willing to take the time to look at the same evidence that I did, then you don't belong on the jury. Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. There's so many people that are caught up in this submatrix, as you call it. For example, imagine that you've got a friend who's just had a baby. I mean, and if I was seeing them, to go and visit them, I'd be telling them, I don't give a shit whether they don't like what I'm saying. I'm saying, whatever you do, don't give that baby a single vaccination. Yeah, but if you do that to the people in the Matrix, they think you're a fucking criminal.
Not only that, but there's a reason why. Because the first thing they're going to do is listen to authority figures over just, you know, goofy parents telling them something who doesn't have a baby right now, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to listen to authority figures. That's
are you a doctor? What are your qualifications?
From the CDC,
yeah,
the media reporting from the CDC, anyone in a white lab coat, anyone with a nurse's outfit on, anyone who works for the manufacturers, and so on. Okay, and so. You're just an internet nerd who discovered this stuff on the internet, right? Now, when you even post something about vaccines on Facebook, for example, right underneath of your post that you can't see is a disclaimer, you know, this is false. The CDC says blah, blah, blah. Okay. So if you're in that loop, feedback loop of, well, if the CDC says it, then it must be true. And Lawrence is just, you know, a conspiracy theorist. So it has to be someone of authority to say something to them. It doesn't matter that you just spent, you know, 10 years looking at vaccine charts and vaccine inserts and going through all of the ingredients that are in the vaccines and looking at all of the stories and anecdotes and everything else from people who have had vaccine injured children. That doesn't matter because you don't have any authority until you prove it. Where's your peer-reviewed study? Well, look how many years I had to listen to where's your peer-reviewed study? Now we've learned finally, it's become more mainstream, that you can buy any peer-reviewed study you want as long as you're on the side that's dictating the peer review. And the, you know, outcome you're supposed to have. And so anyway, that's part and parcel to the submatrix is they have you by the authority figure in whatever topic that it is, because they've got them all covered. They've got the GMOs and the chemtrails and the vaccines and the moon landing and that you could just go on and on and on. Anything that's questioned, they have the rebuttal for it already in there, and they control it by how? By what shows up on the search engine, you know, when you go seeking out the information, right? What shows up in Google, if it's not on the first page, it doesn't matter. And so as long as they control the first page results, then that's the information you're going to get. It's just that simple.
So, Laurie, tell me what's happening in the States with regard, because I don't know whether it was on the news, I think you may have commented on it, but there was a whole bunch of women and children that were excluded from school for refusing to, they were all vaccinated, so they couldn't attend, not that the school's going to bloody teach them anything anyway, apart from
the load of course. Okay, so that's the point, though,
How is that playing out then? So you've got probably a rapidly growing number of people saying, we ain't vaccinating our kids. We know they do harm. We don't do any good.
Well, let me explain.
What's happening
for there? A long time, for a good while now, they have had exemptions to vaccines. It was either religious exemption, medical exemption, some reason why your child couldn't be back, you know, you couldn't be vaccinated. All right. And so one thing after another, they get rid of the exemptions. They get rid of the religious exemption. And that's based on we're not putting foreign chemicals into our children's bodies because we're medically, you know, we're religiously opposed to it because they did figure out that the baseline cells that were used to grow the vaccines either came from, you know, animals, monkeys, whatever, pigs, whatever they started with, or the human genome stem cell. And so they're like, you know, I'm not going to put that into my body. That's blasphemous or whatever. It's against God's, you know, pure, perfect created body. So medical exemption, then the religious exemption, the medical exemption. What California just did was they said no more exemptions. So that's clearly a mandate that everyone has to have it. Now there's a lot of people out there who their children have been vaccine injured and they're not, you know, they should never be vaccinated again That's a whole separate kind of exemption. I'm so sorry. I have this frog in my throat and I can't get rid of it. And so you can't take your kid into school, public school, if they haven't had their full inoculations. That's the whole series, whatever by age you are. Okay. And so these people were protesting they're being banned from public school. That's what the protest was about. It wasn't about necessarily the mandate.
Yeah. How's it playing out? Because presumably these people work, some of them are going to work when their kids are at school. They can't take their kids with them to work. So,
well, there's homeschooling. The next thing you know, they'll say, okay, the mandate's now going to apply to homeschooling. It's a creeping mandate. The next thing you know, they'll start passing it in job sites. You can't work in the hospital as a nurse without your vaccines, unless you wear a mask and maybe a bracelet identifying that you're unvaccinated, right? So that people that you're working with may say, oh, I don't want that nurse because she's got a mask on or she's unvaccinated or what. It's scare tactics. That's all it is. And so when you think about it, you have the freedom in the United States to have an abortion in many states almost right up to the time of delivery. If you have a medical reason for aborting the child, okay. In many states, you can do assisted euthanasia, assisted suicide. You have the right to do that, but you don't have the right not to be vaccinated. So it's pretty tricky that you can say, well, this is okay, but that's not okay, and this is okay. And they're all about human rights. Freedoms. So the next thing you know, they'll mandate it for everyone. And then people like me who will absolutely refuse to be vaccinated, you're not poking any needles with any poisons in me. What will they do? Take me off to a camp and isolate me with all the other, non-vax, ex-vax people. And I won't be allowed to be out in public. I'm going to have to be behind the electric fence or something. I mean, that's hunger. It's a form of Hunger Games. It's a slow creep. And that's how agendas work. They're perfectly comfortable taking 10, 20, 50 years to mandate something.
Your country's gone absolutely crazy. I think in the UK now, I think they only have maybe 5 vaccines for kids at the most.
Oh, we have 70 something by the time.
And
there's
is,
271 more in the pipelines.
It's just beyond belief that people.
I mean, they have to get the flu vaccine of the year, and they have to get all this stuff. I mean, I watched a flu vaccine nearly kill my mother. There's no way I'm going to get a flu vaccine or any of them. You can go to the grocery store, the Publix grocery store, and get your flu vaccine and get a $10 gift certificate for shopping in the store. I mean, there's no holds barred on the lengths they will go to mandate these vaccines. And it's supposed to all be for the public good. But in the meantime, the autism rate is skyrocketing. I think it's 1 in 24 or 1 in 30 children now have autism. I mean, that's off the scale. The vaccine injured children, what is called vaccine injury? It doesn't have to be as atrocious as, encephalitis or, autism. It could be peanut allergies. It could be emphysema. What's the other one? You do the inhaler. Asthma. It could be, there's all kinds. Eczema, there's skin rashes, there's just it's unbelievable how many side effects, plus the sudden infant death syndrome, otherwise known as crib death, where there's no explained reason why the child died, except, oh, 3 days ago, they got six vaccines. I mean, that's how many doses they're dosing children with at one bitch. You know, it's called a well visit. You go to the doctor with your 3-month-old or your 6-month-old for a well visit so you can get loaded up with your vaccines. And next thing you know, you're not so well anymore.
Yeah. So if you want to stay well away from doctors, unless you've had a car crash and you've got to go home.
Stay well away from doctors.
Just stay away. Yeah.
I mean, unless it's an emergency, you got a cut open leg or a broken bone and you need to have it set or, you know, and.
Yeah, just stay well away.
You know what happens? Here's the other tricky thing. People go to the hospital with, you know, emergency type situations. They were in a car accident. You don't have any choice. The paramedics are going to come and they're going to take you to the hospital. And that's all there is to it. And you're going to be admitted and you're going to be treated because that's the humane thing to do. And then you wake up from maybe your surgery or, some test you had or whatever. And we gave you 3 vaccines while you were here because, you know, we didn't know if you had them. Again, not only possibly against your will, but with against your foreknowledge and ability to say yes or no. Yeah. Flu vaccine's a big one for that. They'll give you a flu vaccine. And the worst place you could get a flu vaccine is in the hospital because the first thing that's going to happen is the virus is going to shed. What? It's going to shed all over everybody.
You mean they'll give you that if you're unconscious? What if you're not unconscious? They're still going to do it? Unconscious.
What I'm saying is in a lot of situations where you're under duress or you're unconscious, they're either going to slip it to you or and say it's part of the protocol, a hospital protocol. And what are you going to do about it after the fact? All you can do is sue them for damages. You have to prove damages, but you can't undo the vaccine that you got. You already got it. It's like cutting off your little finger and then saying, you didn't want that cut off. Oh, okay. Well, it's too late to sew it back on because we've already spent 3 days and we already threw it in the garbage.
God, so in many respects, yours is a really horrible country to live in. I mean,
it's not completely horrible yet, but it's headed for pretty horrible, Lawrence. What happened? I can't hear you. Can't hear you. You lost your sound. You did something. You just got struck mute for calling my country horrible. Unplug something and plug it back in, Lawrence. Nope, can't hear you. It's not the camera. All right, well, we may have to end this and start again. Not sure what happened. Just suddenly died the sound. All right, I'm going to put a bookmark there again, and we're going to have to start up again, try it again. So thanks, Lawrence, and thanks, everybody, for listening. And there will be another part added to this and a playlist. Bye for now.